Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, welcome back to the Pod Crashed. This week, we're telling the story of RAF Flight 333. Thanks for listening.
Okie dokie, smoky pokey. This is the kind of story that I am always looking for, kind of.
Okay.
Like, if that makes sense. I feel like there's so many different stories, but I am often looking for this story, and today I found this story, and I'm very happy.
Beautiful. I'm excited.
Yeah. So today we are telling the story of RAF, so Royal Air Force, Flight 333. So this is, we're going back not far at all to February 9th, 2014. So, you know, 3 weeks ago,
yeah,
approximately. Not almost 10 years ago, because that's preposterous. That's a senseless, nonsense idea. But so this is a Royal Air Force flight going from, I'm going to say, Breeze Norton. British people can tell me if that's how you say it.
Okay.
From the Air Force Base Breeze Norton to Camp Bastion Airfield in Afghanistan.
Okay.
February 9th, not that close to Christmas, but kind of close to Christmas. Mm-hmm. Basically, this is a flight of, like, a Royal Air Force flight of, like, soldiers or, like, support staff, different personnel who have been on their, like their holiday leave, and now they're coming back to Afghanistan. So
okay.
I imagine, like, families, but I don't think a ton of people brought their families with them to Afghanistan. I don't feel like that happened that much.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I kind of, I guess I don't know, but I imagine, I don't know, maybe kind of like a mixed vibe on the plane, maybe.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, some people are probably happy to, like, see each other and stuff, but maybe,
yeah,
you know.
It's a tough flight. It's probably, yeah, it's probably a tough flight.
Yeah. The plane itself is the military, like, equivalent of an A330. So that's, like, a civilian plane that, you know, most of us have been on, probably. But the military, the name, like, what Airbus calls, like, this version is a KC-2, which I think is a great name, and what I will name our first child, KC-2.
Beautiful, KC-2.
Yeah, perfect. So
after the plane, of course.
After the plane, right, right. That's not good. I mean, my name isn't spelled KC, it's Casey.
Right, right.
Yeah. We've got 189 passengers, so people who are, like, just, like, sitting in their seats flying. 9 crew members, 2 of which are pilots, and then 7 flight attendants. So it's kind of operating like a commercial flight, but it's not a commercial flight. So there are flight attendants, there's, like, meal service, there's a movie, like, there's, you know, it's kind of got some of, like, the niceties of a commercial flight, but it's
they
not
probably try
flight
and make it as, like, nice as they can.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they probably do try to make it, you know. It must be, I wonder what that gig is like to be a flight attendant on these.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder how you get that job. Like, I'm a Royal Air Force flight attendant.
Right.
I don't know. I just don't know how that works.
Who can say?
Our captain's name is Andrew. Our first officer's name is Nathan. They're both like Air Force men, and I don't know their ages. So I am imagining them in my head being very young, but I think that they are more career Air Force men. So I think that they might be more like real adults. But
yeah.
So we're going back from our Christmas break or whatever we want to call it. The plane is getting ready to go. It's about an 8-hour flight from this part of the UK to that part of Afghanistan. And we're leaving in like the late morning. So not kind of like, again, is kind of as comfortable as possible, right? It's not leaving at like a horrible hour. Mm-hmm. It's not like that long of a flight, but it's a pretty long flight, 8 hours, you know? So as they're getting ready to go, they're out on the runway getting ready, taxiing out to the runway rather. And everybody's like buckled in. And so this aircraft has what's called an IFF system. It stands for like identify friend or foe system. Mm. It's like a little transponder that can like basically communicates with other planes. And if it's like another RAF plane or like another ally plane or whatever, then you know that it's an ally aircraft rather than, I don't know, a scary bad aircraft or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't know, hopefully it doesn't come up too often because it still is just an A330, right? Like it's you know, whatever. So it has one of those systems, and while they're taxiing out to the runway, it's like being a little bitch. Like it's just acting up. It's like throwing out weird codes. Oh. Their like ECAM thing is throwing out like that there's something's wrong with it. And so they're troubleshooting it, turning it off and on again. You really don't, it's not critical to the operation of the aircraft, but you don't want to like mess with anything. Like Andrew and Nathan don't want to, if it's doing weird stuff, they don't want to mess with it. So while they're troubleshooting it, they are like considering maybe we're gonna have to go back to the gate to go back and have somebody check this out. But after they troubleshoot it, turn it off, turn it on, whatever, it the fault clears. So now it looks like everything's okay. And they're like, okay, maybe it just was acting up, you know, being weird.
Yeah.
And they take off for their 8-hour flight to Afghanistan. And while they are on their way, it's a pretty simple flight, right? Like they get up to cruising altitude and then they've just got to cruise on over, right? Like it's not super complex. There's a little bit of turbulence. It's not that bad. Pretty normal, easy peasy flight. The, it has the like social niceties of a commercial flight with like the flight attendants like serving dinner and stuff like, or lunch, I guess. But it's also maybe a little more casual. So like the pilots are, you know, it's just a pretty chill, low key, casual flight. And they are flying along. Andrew, the captain, has like a DSLR camera that he's brought along, which, yeah, if I had a fancy camera, I would bring it too. Yeah. I don't know if it's his first time in Afghanistan, right? So he's like playing around with the camera. They're joking. It's just everything's fine, right? Very pleasant, whatever. And the hours like tick by. About a couple hours, 2-3 hours into the flight, Nathan, the first officer, is like, I'm going to go walk around, basically. I'm going to go, like, I'm going to get a drink. Do you want anything to drink? I'm going to, you know, stretch my legs, basically. And Nathan gets up, leaves the cockpit, comes back with tea for Andrew, which is very sweet.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, leaves the cockpit again to, you know, whatever, chit-chat with somebody or grab something to eat, go to the bathroom, that kind of stuff. And Andrew's in there just duping around with his camera. Flight attendant comes in, chit-chats with Andrew, asks him if he wants anything. It's okay. Nathan just brought me tea. Like, it's just, you know, whatever.
Just like mundane.
And yeah, it's, yeah.
In a good way.
So, right. Super mundane. And so the flight attendant leaves. Andrew's dooping with the camera, keeping an eye on the controls or whatever. And suddenly there's kind of like a weird feeling that I think would be very hard to describe, but there's kind of like a strange, inexplicable, like, wait, something's weird. I feel weird. And up in the cockpit, Andrew realizes that like his shoulder harnesses of his seatbelt is like holding him down. Like he's floating and being held in place the shoulder harness. And in the cabin, most people are buckled, but if you're not, or if you're like holding something or whatever, everything is just starting to like float. And things are floating up. Andrew looks like, what is happening? He's in the cockpit by himself. He looks and he can see that the nose is tilted down on the aircraft. And he like had pushed back his seat just to be more comfortable. But now he's like, wait, I got it. Something's happening. And he like moves the seat up. And when he moves the seat forward, all of a sudden the nose like points straight down and they start to dive toward the ground. In the cabin, Nathan is just, you know, whatever, doing his thing, starts to float up. When suddenly the plane starts to like nose down dive, he slams into the ceiling of the plane and his back breaks. His back breaks. So they're diving. Andrew's in there by himself. He's trying to, like, there's, you know, everything's screaming at him. Nathan, back broken, is still floating up along the ceiling of the aircraft. God. Basically, like, an astronaut pulls himself forward back into the cockpit, gets into the cockpit. The, you know, lights are going off, the alarms, everything's screaming at him. Like, Andrew is desperately trying to pull them up out of this dive. Nathan, still floating, pulls back on the stick on his side. So Airbus planes have like a side stick next to your, like the left hand on the left side, right hand on the right side. So Nathan just like pulls himself over like Apollo 13 and like pulls back on his side stick and nothing happens. The plane does not respond to him pulling back on the side stick whatsoever. No change, period. They are diving. They are diving 15,000 feet a minute. Oh, they are like careening out of the sky. And Nathan like pulls himself down into his seat and buckles himself in. And he and Andrew are trying to figure out what's going on. Nathan pulls back on the side stick again, now that he's buckled in, and the nose does start to like ease up a little bit that time. It starts to just poke up just a little bit, like they're not diving quite as fast. But now they're getting like an overspeed warning screaming at them because they're careening out of the sky. They're going so fast that they are fully in danger of the plane just coming apart in the air before they even hit anything. He pulls back on the side stick and they get that dual input warning. We've talked about it before on Airbus aircraft. If the one pilot does one input and the other pilot does the opposite input, then you'll get a warning saying, hey, you're telling me two different things. Stop, like, figure it out. And they get the dual input warning and Nathan doesn't know what that's about. The overspeed warning is screaming at them. They turn the engines down. So Andrew just pulls the engines all the way back to idle just to just stop going so fast, right? We're dropping anyway, just stop speeding toward the earth.
Right.
Nathan pulls back again on his side stick and all of a sudden the plane starts to respond to it normally. So the nose picks up. The engines have just been pulled back. Now they're getting a warning that they're going to stall because now they've got no engines and the nose is pointing up. Oh my God. Andrew like pushes the engines forward. They level off.
Jeez.
What the fuck? Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my gosh.
And so now he's Nathan, got a fucking broken back.
A broken back. And in the cabin, everything, all of a sudden we've leveled off. In the cabin, a few people weren't buckled in. The cabin crew obviously weren't buckled in. Nobody's as badly injured as Nathan is, but like people are like battered and bruised. But more than anything, people are freaking out.
Yeah.
Like freaking out, obviously, right? Like that is terrifying. And in the cockpit, they just like, what happened? What happened?
Yeah.
Why did that happen? The only thing that was weird up until that point was the stupid IFF system, which shouldn't interfere. That's to keep you from shooting down like your countrymen or whatever. Right. That's not, it shouldn't have anything to do with that. So they, we want to get on the ground as fast as possible. Literally, where are we? So they're flying over Turkey right now. And so they call air traffic control, declare Mayday. They, air traffic control is like, oh, you're like very close to like this airport, and they're like, okay, but that airport is literally too close, like it's it's like right under them, and they like can't, they, that's not gonna happen. And so the air traffic controller is like, oh well, you can go to Istanbul, like big huge international airport, right? Go, you can go there. That one is like 300 miles away. That's, you know, not that close. Yeah. And then the air traffic controller again is just going through all their options. They say, what about the like Incirlik air base, so the Turkish Air Force base, and that one is baby bear, just right, not too far, not too close. And so they're like, yeah, good, we just want to get the, we want to get on the ground safely and quickly. So they, nothing else seems to be weird, they're flying normally now. They route over to the Air Force, the Turkish Air Force base, and they land, and everybody lives.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody lives. They have just had obviously an unbelievably terrifying and confusing experience. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like they, this is bad, right? And Turkey is our, and the UK is like NATO ally. Mm-hmm. And this is like an RAF plane or whatever. And so, in just a couple months before this, so in November of 2013, Brian and I were in Turkey, right? And I remember that one of the big things when you go to Turkey, this was like on every single like thing about like the entry requirements for Turkey. Mm-hmm. It's like they do not take credit cards. The visa, you get a visa on arrival. The visa on arrival for Americans, I think at the time, was like $40. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you have to have cash, and you have to either have Turkish cash, you have to have British cash, or you have to have American cash. Like those are, that's it. Don't give us other money.
Yeah.
Don't think you're going to pay with a card. We don't take checks. Like, bring the cash, right? It, not a lot of money, right? So for British people, it's £10 at this time. So £10, a £10 note, right? That's what you need to get the visa on arrival. Okay. They have just landed here on an emergency plane. Like, this is not, this was not intended, right? And the Turkish, like at the base, literally, like, God bless them. They're like, okay, so anybody who's on NATO orders, like NATO orders, right? You're good. You don't have to have a visa. Everybody else, visa on arrival, you're entitled to that. Arrival, that's totally fine. But we need £10 cash. And people are like, I don't have British cash with me. Like, I don't have £10 or whatever. And they're literally like, I don't know what to tell you. We need the £10.
Go figure it out.
Yes, £10.
On the tarmac, like, they have literally. Figure it out.
Seriously, like, they. So they call like the British embassy in Ankara, and they're like, we can like drive some cash over to you, but that's like, we are hours away. It's going to take a while to get there. And they just, they do in fact figure it out, because other people are like, oh my God, what is happening? Right. Here's £10. Like, here you go.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like
it's the rules.
That
listen.
Part, listen, them's the rules, yeah. And this was also, like, this was when the Syrian crisis was, like, really, really at its, like, zenith. And people, I guess it's important to make it harder for refugees to come into your country.
Of
so,
course, exactly.
You know, if that also affects some people you didn't intend, what are you going to do?
Right.
Like, just let people be refugees? Ugh. But anyway, we'll see if that makes it in the episode, too, but... so they,
I think we're good.
Yeah. Like, they ponied up, I don't know, like they, everybody who wasn't on NATO orders paid their £10, promise to pay each other back or whatever. Thanks for working together, guys. And everyone's safe. Okay,
thank
great.
God.
So, yes. So the RAF, that's extremely terrifying
yeah.
and bad, right? That's this shouldn't happen. And the Royal Air Force like grounded all of their KC-2s, not a single KC in the air, right? Yep. They just grounded yep. all of them. They said, we have to figure out what happened. They looked into like, is it somehow something to do with like the weird fault message they got? Was something wrong with the autopilot? The Airbus, we've talked about it many times in different contexts. The Airbus have like the fly-by-wire system. Mm-hmm. So like the computer is the one actually like making the final decision on stuff, right? And they are like going through everything. They take like interviews from the pilots, and when they look at the flight data recorder, right, so all of the inputs that either pilot makes, when they look at the flight data recorder, they can see that actually Andrew, the captain's, like his side stick, like pushed, like poked forward, like his side stick
yeah
pushed forward. And like when the nose was going down just a little bit, like his, it
was because of his stick.
It was because his stick was pushed forward,
oh, no.
like just a little bit,
yeah.
just a little bit. And then pushed forward, like big. Right. And they were like, did he do this on purpose? Like,
oh
what?
No.
And they really don't think he did. Because he, like, on the recording is freaking out, like, obviously, very shocked that this is happening. And he has, like, no history of, like, anything. Like, no, basically no one on Earth thinks that he did it on purpose. But, like, Andrew, my guy, like, you did do it. Like, what happened? And the other thing that's weird is that, like, the side stick input is, like, extremely steady. Like, perfectly steady, like not no shaking, not
yeah.
like you would expect if it was like an actual like intentional input, right? You're just, nobody's hands are perfectly steady, right? And they're like, okay, wait, guys, tell us what happened again, like just walk us through, like. And they have the flight data or the voice cockpit voice recorder too, so they're like listening to that.
Yeah.
And like our boys, like Nathan is, you know, taking care of his horrible back injury, and like Andrew and Nathan, though, both of them are like, oh, Nathan, like you are literally a hero. You're not supposed to be out of the cockpit, just
right.
like, you know, like, oh no. And like Andrew, like, wait, what are you doing? What happened? Why did this happen? And so they're like interviewing them, and they do the, like, they talk to the, like, everybody. And the, so Andrew, like you had a, like a camera, like you were just kind of like duping around with the camera. Like
yeah.
that's not like.
You're working, dude.
Yeah. Like it's, but it's kind of like they're trying to put it together, and they like are looking. So this might be hard to picture, but like, okay. So if you've just had a car that has like the side shifter, like, or like gear shifter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next to you instead of up by the wheel. So if you imagine that, like, along with the stick shift, there's also the, like, panels or whatever, like,
yeah.
a cup holder or whatever. So on this aircraft, there's, like, the stick that you use to, like, control the nose of the plane, to control the pitch, right? So you've got that, but you've also got, like, there's a little space, right? And, like, ugh, that space... You could totally fit a camera in that space.
Oh.
And so Andrew had been like, you know, playing with the camera or whatever. And they took the camera, and they can see it's a digital camera, so they can see when the photos were taken. And like the last picture he took was like shortly before that, like little input, that little forward input. And so, like, our boy Andrew was just, he was just on the, taking pictures of the camera, and then he set it down next to him, and it, like, just, like, was just wide enough that it just, like, nudged the stick forward.
Oh, my God.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. And then when the like floating started to happen, that's scary.
Yeah.
He like could feel that something was wrong. He moved his seat forward. The armrest of his seat pushed into the camera, which pushed into the stick and shoved the nose of the plane down.
Oh my God.
So that's why when Nathan was pulling back on the stick, he's pulling back on it, and the computer is screaming at them that they're doing opposite inputs. And so, like, this isn't clear to me. It's not clear to me if when that happened, if Andrew realized and like pulled the camera out, or if the autopilot just disconnected. I don't, it's, or both, maybe, probably both. Yeah. And like the, cause the Airbus, that fly by wire system is supposed to protect you, right? It's supposed to catch up with like, hey, I don't really think this is what you're trying to do.
Right,
like,
let me
fix it. So this is just my ignorance. I'm sure that you guys all know and will tell us. And that's what we look forward to.
But like at this time, they don't think that it was intentional.
No, or we it know definitely for a fact it.
That it's not
so,
intentional.
So the camera had like a dent in it.
Okay.
And they like fit it into, like they put it like right into that spot with like, here's the stick and here's the like camera.
Yeah.
And it like perfectly like a puzzle piece like fits.
Yeah.
Because it dented the camera when he like shoved forward. Oh, Andrew. Oh, damn. No. Oh, no, Andrew. Oh, no. I'm so glad for a billion reasons that everyone was okay.
Yeah.
But this is, I'm especially glad because, God forbid, everyone dies.
Oh, my God.
And it blows up and they just have the FDR, like, just have, only have the flight data recorder to go on.
Right.
Are they going to think that Andrew did it on purpose?
Right.
Is, like, Andrew's family for the rest of his life going to think, like, what happened? You know what I mean? Like, that, like, Andrew did, he was discharged. He got fired. And like, I'm very sorry, Andrew, but that was a really scary thing.
Yeah.
And Nathan is, listen, you can be upset that he was out of the cockpit, like duping around, but he saved everybody's lives.
With a broken
like,
back.
With a broken back. He God. Literally Spider-Man'd through the plane with a broken back and saved the day.
How do you even have the wherewithal to do that while you're floating after having a broken back? Like, I can't.
The only thing I can imagine is that, like, because I think about there's so many different times, like the Ethiopian Airlines flight. Remember that the hijackers, that whole thing?
Yeah.
They like dragged the first officer out of the cockpit and then he like kept fighting to try to like get back into the cockpit. Like, all I can think is that's like a, I don't know, just like a deeply ingrained, like something is wrong and like that's where I have to be. Like, it happens with the, we're going to do it soon. I promise, Abby, we're going to do it soon. The the Air France 447, like that same thing. Like, I do think that maybe it's just like, I guess, where pilots want to be if something is going wrong, you know, like, just to try to fix it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if your back is broken, I don't, maybe adrenaline. I don't know.
Right. I mean, training. It has to be.
Yeah. A heroic spirit. Like, I don't want to give no credit to Nathan, like, as an individual. Oh, I cannot imagine the feeling though. Cause at some point along the way, Andrew did notice that the camera was there and pulled it out and the like, sick, oh my
the,
God.
The immediate stomach drop. Just that. Like,
oh,
we all
oh
know
my
that
gosh.
Feeling. Like, every single person in the world knows that feeling.
Oh,
and it's the
that
worst
is,
and it's like that's, I don't know, that is,
oh my gosh,
when you think about it that feels like so easy to have compassion in that moment because
right.
you know what that feels like, and it is truly just so gut-wrenching that it's horrible.
Right.
I mean, like, thank
that,
God
like,
everyone lives, right? Like, we can
exactly
thank God everyone lives, but over a camera.
Oh,
and he probably, I mean, he feels terrible and embarrassed and
right.
all of the things.
Right. It's just, I'd also, it's just such a, Yeah, it's just so incredibly easy to imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever like lost something under the pedal, like in the car? Have you ever like dropped something and it like went behind the pedal?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, it's kind of the scary. Same thing.
Yeah.
Really scary. Yeah. Really scary.
Yeah.
But like really pretty easy to do. You're like
yeah.
Get like sipping a like bottle of water and then all of a sudden you like can't control your car. Like it's
yeah.
God. You know the story about the marbles on the bus? Have I told you about this before?
It sounds familiar.
When I was a child, the Dollar Tree had a bag of 100 marbles for a dollar. And I was like, oh, perfect. Yeah. Like, that's what I want, obviously. And I brought them to school. And I dropped the entire bag of marbles on the bus.
Because of
the
course.
Whole bag of... Because of course. And Kelly, God bless her, may she live forever, the bus driver, very angry. And that's specifically what she said. Because I was a little bit like... You know, I really am sorry I did this, but like, you know, it's marbles. Like,
right.
And she was like saying like, no, like these marbles could collect like under the yeah. pedal. And like, then we're just a careening bus. Right. Like, oh my gosh. There were marbles. I rode that same bus for years and like, we still found marbles.
No.
Like, years later. Yeah. God bless Kelly.
Poor baby Casey though.
Oh.
It's such a horrible
thing. Oh.
God.
But
I was always so good at hiding that stuff as a kid, like,
oh,
that I definitely took that into adulthood of like being able to either spin my fuck ups or like hide them enough to take care of them so that it wouldn't become like a bigger deal. Like, it's definitely a skill that I perfected as a child and has definitely benefited me, especially my younger early adult life. Definitely benefited me a little bit being able to.
That's like one of,
it's like that fake it till you make it type, like that's what happens yeah. when you're an adult.
Yeah, I feel like I have a really hard time. I feel like I'm afraid of that instinct. Mm-hmm. Like it's a strong instinct. Maybe I'm just not as good at it as you are. But like, because I'm always like afraid, because I'm like, wait a second. Because I think that personally I'm more likely to accidentally end up like having like this backfire on me.
Fair,
you
fair.
Know, like where yeah. it has like, oh, this has gone bad,
right?
But,
yeah, no,
but
totally.
No, like, well, having that as like a true
whole thing
skill
is like, it's, oh, sorry,
no, I was gonna say, having that as a true skill, like where you can actually yeah. do that, very yeah. powerful.
Very, very powerful. And I will say, as I have progressed through adulthood, you don't need it. Like, you just, people fuck up. It's okay.
You faked it all the way until you made it.
Right,
you did
exactly.
It,
it's just like,
yeah,
oh,
you
wait,
made it.
Nothing happens when you actually just admit. I mean, and it's not even like not admitting when you mess up, but it's that, you know, it's not huge things or anything like that, but it's the, I don't know, just like spare the embarrassment part of it, I think, for me. Like, that was yeah. a lot of my motivation of like, this yeah. isn't a big, I know this isn't a big deal. I can fix this without anybody knowing so that no
yeah.
one has to know. And I don't have, you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing.
Yeah. Because you also like tell on yourself faster than anyone I've ever known.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
Like, you will,
I
like
do.
if your like brain does
it,
a calculation,
yeah.
yeah, you will like instantly tell on yourself.
Yeah.
Or like tell the people who need to know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like,
that is something yeah. all my former bosses have said too,
yeah.
which I actually appreciate. I'm like, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
that's fine.
You have because, you have very good judgment when
yeah,
it's like a thing that you need to like out yourself or
right.
like just fix it
right.
quietly.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But this seems like one of those, this is like an example Ugh. Of a huge, huge consequence of such a small
right.
action, you know, that
right.
in any other circumstance could have easily just like picked up the camera and fixed whatever was going on. Just happened. You were in a plane crashing
right.
into the ground. Like,
oh, because Andrew did. He actually got like, I think someone can correct me, because I didn't write it down, but I think that they charged and convicted him and then gave him like a, he didn't spend time in jail. I think that because they said like, Andrew, like you definitely noticed that your camera was the thing that caused this and you didn't tell us in the interview and like, you're not supposed to do that. And I think it's a pretty easy instinct to like, I don't know. I don't know. Like on some level, it's kind of weird, right? Because those interviews are, I think it'd be pretty scary. I think that like, I would rather.
Terrifying.
But you also can't, I don't know what the British version of like pleading the fifth is. Like, but
oh,
you,
right, yeah.
It's, you have to like, it's like a no, it's like an unlawyered thing that can be held against you, you know, like that interview. So, but they were like, I mean, you clearly like picked up the camera at some point. Like you clearly did realize what had happened at some point and you could have saved us a lot of time. And the other thing that the Royal Air Force was like very angry at him because they grounded all of the planes.
Oh, right.
For like a few weeks while they were worried that something was wrong with them. Ooh. So.
Right. Like the worst time to do that.
Right.
Like you but do that when there's something is wrong, and I feel like that's the opposite that happens. Like,
right. But even that, now, like one of the things I just, people again, I think it's fine to come away from this story with like a variety of different feelings. But I have to say, like anybody I've ever known in the like military, anything, you see the government like waste so much money.
Yep.
That like I don't think that I could possibly actually feel guilty about wasting money like grounding the planes. Like I just don't think I could have it in me to care about that. But but it made the Air Force mad at him, obviously.
Right. Yeah. Like that's the context. But if I were him, I'd be like, I don't like this is a shitty thing that happened. I'm sorry that happened, but
I don't know. Wherever Andy is, I hope he's doing great. Nathan, I think, is like revered as a hero. It's not clear to me. He like competed in some he competed in like a cool thing for like wounded vets.
Oh, okay.
And like did well. British people will know what I'm talking about. But he, I just hope he's doing, I hope both of them and everyone on board are doing great.
Yeah.
There was one thing, like one of the flight attendants very, very understandably had a panic attack.
Uh-huh.
And like, I don't know any of the details, but it's like written in a very dry way in the like report. But they had a panic attack and like other people like helped them like calm down and they like booted back up and like helped passengers and like totally like rocked it after that. And like love that flight attendant. Yeah. There were a bunch of doctors like on the plane, presumably because
beautiful.
Yeah, like that makes sense, right? And the doctors, I don't know. I hope everybody's doing great. I'm sure there's a million things that Andy would have done differently in retrospect. And
a trillion.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah.
That's all we get. I'm glad that he gets a second chance. I'm glad everybody in this plane gets a second chance. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah.
And we know, were they able to fly after this?
Those two people, I might be wrong about this, but like Andrew was like discharged from the military and Nathan, I think, was also discharged due to the injury.
Mm. But like they,
so
does that carry over like the license or like the pilot's license?
I don't actually know that. Yeah. That I don't know. I just heard Frank.
Yeah,
scream.
Frank is screaming right now. He just woke up. He's very upset. He demands cuddles right after he wakes up. So.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. I love them.
Yeah, they're perfect.
Yeah.
Nando.
But everybody.
Everyone lives.
Frank. Everyone lives.
Frank is alive.
They all have cats to go home to.
Yeah.
Turkey got their, like, whatever.
Yeah, they're
1,000 pounds
or
whatever. They're 10 pounds each. Yeah. Like, that's what really matters. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Honestly, this is 2014, so this is like before Erdogan like made turkey different. I guess we'll say it like that. But
yeah,
this is, like I said, this was a couple months after Brian and I left Turkey, and it was a very nice time to be there. So
yeah,
I don't know how long anyone was there, but
was this like major news in Turkey? Do you know?
That I don't know. That I don't know. I think it was fairly big news in the UK. I think it was like, I don't know, and I would love to know, and I would happily read these emails because a lot of you are British. What a treat. So like, I would love to like learn more about how like the war in Afghanistan was like covered in the media by like in the UK.
Yeah.
Because like in 2014, in all seriousness, people would like, I bet if you like polled Americans, I bet like 30% of them would be like, I don't think we're in Afghanistan anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Like maybe not, but I don't know. Like the media coverage really died down on that incredibly long conflict.
Yeah. Pretty abruptly.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, but I was gonna text you about this so that you could help me remember, but I remembered on my own. Some of you are musicians, and that's really cool. And you know, unlike other forms of art, it is a form of art that like we actually can like display for people. So I think that one of like our friends just put out some new music. It's really cool. We'll either put it at the end of this episode, or I was kind of thinking that it might be fun if any of you are musicians and are interested, if we like put out like a music episode, just like
with
some cool tunes. Because like, okay, so basically it's really hard to come up with these like every week right now, just because there's so much happening. And like we have the land, and I have like actually like truly like more than 1,000 plants to plant. And so it's... part of me is thinking, go ahead. What are you thinking?
No, I was just going to say it, like it is insane. And especially the amount of stuff that you do, I don't know how. I truly... It's the power of ADHD, I guess. I don't know.
The power of ADHD, it listen. Just,
that's the Energizer Bunny. Yeah.
And as you know, Mariah, they finally gave me... I've been taking like the dose of the medicine that I take. It was like basically half the dose that's appropriate for my weight. And I was taking it for child, like for years, right? Right. For a child. Yeah. Like I don't weigh 40 kilos.
Right.
Like that's just not, of course not. I would die before I got to like, I would die.
Yeah.
So, but they finally raised it to the appropriate dose. And I'm just, you would not believe what I have accomplished.
Yeah.
It is miraculous.
Beautiful.
But all of this to say, one of the thoughts I had was like, maybe this summer we'll just do like a summer of like all bangers, like just do like all of the episodes that like we have that I've been like saving or putting off. Like if we do like did an episode like every other week, but we do like United 232, the Buffalo flight finally, the amazing like flight that, you know, Deb gave us the research for. Like if we just do like good long episodes every other week, but only every other week, and then maybe some like little sprinkles in between, like a music episode or like a farming episode so we can geek out about that. I don't know.
It's, or if you have anything like any other ideas that you want to hear, let us know.
Definitely. And I mean, or we'll just keep doing what we're doing, which is just stumbling along, and episodes do come out. Right, like we keep making them.
We are committed, like, we are definitely committed.
We're in too deep. Like
way too deep.
We have friends. Like we need to.
And I don't think we emailed Orion, O-R-I-O-N.
okay, So
Orion,
our dear friend Orion Orion, we love you.
We
this
do
is
love
what's
you.
Tricky about, like, we read things, but then this is like a spoken media that we use.
Yes.
So yeah, but he. What were you actually going to say? I'm so sorry.
Well, I was just going to say that apologies for not emailing you back yet.
Oh my gosh, yes. We will be doing that.
Yes, we have discussed many a times. Geeked out heavily when you did send an email. Love the picture. Look at it all
the
time.
Picture. We love that you talk about tapes, like VHS tapes.
Yes, so this summer, I think, is...
Everything. This is the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are in for a treat.
Yeah,
If we can land Orion, you guys are in for a treat.
Yes. Yes. No, I think that there are many. So anyway, yeah. Tell us if you like that idea.
Yeah.
Or if you, most of you are like sweet, like, and just wonderful and are just like, anything's fine. And like, that's so nice.
Yeah.
You know, but you are also welcome to care one way or the other and tell us what you think.
Yeah.
Don't feel like you can't. Yes. So. Ooh, fact, Mariah?
Fact. I was scrolling through Twitter, and it's kind of a weird fact, but did you know, Casey, that 340,000 UPS workers just voted to authorize a strike if they cannot come to terms for a new contract by July 31st?
I did not know that, but I am overjoyed.
Yeah.
We love and support.
Yes. We are also, as a workforce, we are on the verge of the largest labor strike in American history. Wait.
Which?
Let me double check this.
No, we should. This should be literally strikes.
Okay, since
every
the
day.
50s. I'm sorry. The biggest labor strike since the 50s.
That
still
like
in terms of when they started recording this, I would say.
Right. Well, and also like biggest is kind of like, I'm sure by the numbers.
Exactly.
Right. Like,
right.
But
just
then,
by population size.
Yeah. But like,
it's like
at the birth of unions. Yeah. They were like actual like wars, like with like shooting each other and stuff.
Yeah.
It's serious business.
Yeah, it is serious business. And it is there are a lot of great articles out there, there's a lot of great information. I think it is an interesting time right now. Like you and I talk about it a lot, the type of environment we're living kind of in the US and also globally. The Hollywood is on strike. There are a lot of different unions in Hollywood. The Writers Union is on strike.
Not enough unions in Hollywood.
Yeah,
actually,
exactly.
That's a PA union. Unite,
one of the 12,000 unions. The actors may their contract is up. I think this summer, and they're. I don't know if they. Yeah. voted to agree yet or if they are voting to agree to a strike, but I don't know, it's getting a little crazy. It's good.
Yeah.
Stretch
it.
Behold,
guys. Like I know that like Air France, we like Japan Airlines used the Air France lounge, and like I was the lounge agent like quite often when I worked there, and one Air France agent had to come to like be in the to like run the lounge with me.
Yeah.
So one poor Air France agent had to be there at 6 a.m. and everybody else came in later. But and we would talk, and first of all, like, you know, God bless them. The French go on strike all the time.
Yeah.
As you know, and wow, sure is effective, because they sure do get paid way more and like way more vacation time, way better stuff.
Yep.
And yet somehow the country just keeps rolling. France.
It's amazing.
Still here.
Yep. It's
still
amazing.
Here.
Well, and the whole like part of exactly what you're saying is part of what I was reading about was, and this is true regardless of what country you're in, as union membership declines, like income inequality increases. It's basically just a mirrored chart.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. that when we don't yeah. have access to unions and labor protections, surprise, yeah. the top take the money. Like the rich people keep right. getting yeah. richer. Yeah.
Because that's literally all that could happen. Right. Exactly. Like what other outcome could there possibly be? Like, yeah. So we love a union. And here's the thing. Obviously, some unions are like, have like lost a lot of their efficacy, or like I've known individual like union reps who not good, like, and I know that it's not better without the union. Like the situation is not made better by not having the union. It will right. you know yeah. like you're not, and like thank God like for unions, because they like FedEx is not union. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong about that, but UPS is. And like FedEx has to pay their drivers and like workers more because UPS has a union, and they like,
yeah.
so in order to be competitive. So like even like there's no such thing as like unionization for my job. Right.
Yeah.
Although I think about it a lot. Cause like, we'll talk about it, but
yeah, yeah.
like that, but the fact like any union labor anywhere like raises the standard of living for everybody. So yeah. yeah, someday if I ever make, I don't know what's wrong with me, but if I ever make the second podcast, because I totally earlier in this conversation we don't have time, but yeah, like yeah. one of the things I really really would love to talk about is like the history of like you sports players unions.
Yeah,
because that is, I mean, Curtis Flood, rest in peace, like he yeah. I mean, without him, who knows how different things would be.
Right.
Like people sacrifice a lot to make life better for other workers, and yeah. love them for it.
Yeah. But, well, and the yeah. I mean, UPS just won. They did just win having air conditioning in their trucks and like
imagine
sheet
that.
Shields. Right. Or heat shields.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Imagine like, having to beg okay. for air conditioning. And like, I know they have the open doors for like efficiency and all this shit. And it's like,
but
I
like,
get it, but
efficiency to what end?
Right.
Like to what end? Because
yeah,
like
at
it
the
is
expense
winter,
of the driver.
It is summer. Right. Like that's the thing that's so insane to me when people talk about like the efficiency of
yeah.
like different things. And it's like efficient
to
what
yes,
end?
Exactly.
Like, because it's very efficient at making life worse for the worker.
Yeah.
I actually don't value that outcome.
No.
So that doesn't seem efficient to me.
Exactly.
So like,
what is the metric? Like, yeah.
Right. Like, anyway.
Yeah.
yeah. It's yeah. So the people who deliver things to our homes, literally 100% like keep like the reason why America did not burn to the ground during the pandemic was because
yeah.
of delivery drivers.
Quite
like,
literally.
The whole truly like New York would be a crater if people hadn't been showing up at everyone's houses yeah. to drop stuff off.
Yeah.
So these are like some of the most important members of our society.
Yeah.
I unironically
truly
like
yeah
whatever they want they should get
yeah
so
and it's like we've
yeah.
created that in society, like we've created that dependency in the way that we set up our systems
right.
and
so,
like every
yeah.
like that's just we are dependent on them now
right. So if we're gonna be like depending on this group of people,
maybe
they
we
should have like
yeah.
you know a basic standard of like life, a basic like basic
yeah.
like air conditioning in the summer,
right,
heat in the winter
yeah.
like oh my god, like imagine
imagine
yeah.
I mean
imagine.
I think it's true that they can only turn left or something, they can't turn left, they can only
there
turn
is something
right.
like that, but that's to like I think prevent accidents to keep
oh, okay,
people from like
good.
Clocking them yeah I think that's a safety thing,
that's good,
but because actually Brian, that's a whole other, if we really
well,
want to get radical, we'll have Brian come in here and talk about infrastructure.
Yes.
like,
well, and I think it's like, it's economic, fuel efficient to do that because you wait more when you're turning left versus if you just go around the block.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
It does also cause like a lot of accidents.
Yeah.
That's like a thing that like Brian In Brian's like turns, Perfect Society. Yeah, left turns. God. Like they it's more dangerous because you're like turning against traffic. Right. You know? So you're like more likely to get T-boned or like.
But then that means did New Jersey get it right by not letting anybody take a left turn?
We're not gonna entertain that idea.
We're not gonna speak that into the cosmos.
No. But I mean,
because the answer to that question is no, just for everybody, if there was any confusion.
Like, New Jersey is always wrong, but maybe.
And I will fight you. Mean, no.
That, like, I don't know. There's, like, a part of me that, like, really just wants to make the world better. And then there's a part of me that is, like, a crotchety old man that's just like, like, I don't want this newfangled, like, I don't want to do a, like, roundabout. Get this out of my town. Like, I don't know what to do in a roundabout.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So we'll just all live with that tension.
That'll be our third podcast, just admitting basic functions. Like, I can't.
Just like talking about things we hate.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah. Just like, I know it's better, but I hate it. Oh, Brian and I, when we were building a polytunnel on the land.
Yeah.
And the I don't know, what are they, socket wrench?
Yeah, yeah.
Was the one that we had was like imperial units, and the one that it needed was like metric. And Brian was like, saw this as an opportunity to try to tell me that like we should all go metric. No, do not bring that talk onto our land. How dare you speak that into the soil? Like, do you want our plants to only be like 10 centimeters high? Like, what will happen? But listen, don't let the animals hear
majority
you.
Wins. I don't know. I've been watching a lot of Game of Thrones lately. I finally caved metric. To yeah watching Game of Thrones, and majority wins, I think. People rise. I'm halfway through, what, so we'll see.
Oh my gosh, if we had like a huge like surge of unionization, but the main like request was going all metric. Yeah. My little heart could not take it.
What would you do? What if that had to be in the contract?
I don't know. You can't form like a union within the union to like argue against. I don't know.
Just step down.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, I don't know. I don't know. Just in my own home, I just want to use inches and feet. Like,
I will not be betrayed by my own family. Space.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Everything is divisible by 10. If you are in an industry that has the opportunity to unionize, you should do it.
Yes.
And then hold your union accountable, right? Like, that's the thing. Like, it shouldn't be, because I think that's part of what's happened. I think that's been part of like the union, like, degradation has been like because of the union culture isn't that strong in a lot of places.
Yeah.
There's like a big separation between like the union and the workers, and that should never happen.
Right.
And like, if you have a union that's not representing you, like, take control of that. Like, that shouldn't be that way.
No.
So, yeah. Perfect. All right.
Awesome.
Success.
Beautiful.
I love you so much, Mariah. Shout out to our boy Aaron. He did a great episode on this. So, mini air crash investigation. I don't want to forget to say it. He did a great episode on this. And we love him.
Yeah.
And we love you.
Yeah.
I love you, Mariah.
I love you too.
We love each and every one of you. Send us music if you make music, and we'll do a little music episode.
Perfect.
And it'll be great.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of The Pod Crashed. We so hope you enjoyed it. If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Instagram and TikTok, or you can email us at thepodcrashed@gmail.com. So much stuff is going on in our life. Please do let us know through any of the different ways you can get in touch with us, or if you listen on Spotify in the like poll or question or whatever it is. Let us know how dependable you would like us to be. Basically, if we can 100% commit to every other week, do you want us to just go for every other week for the rest of the summer? Or do you want us to just do our best and hopefully get the episodes out slightly more often than every other week? I don't know. Let us know. See you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.